I'm reminded, some of you may not know this about me, but I love Disney. And I was told I have not brought enough Disney references recently. So I want to share with you really quick just a brief story that I'm reminded of when I think about this idea of what we've lost and how we tend to hold on to things and what happens when we don't allow that to be the story that we embrace. Some of you out here may not know that the story of Mickey Mouse does not originate with Mickey Mouse. It actually begins with Walt Disney and a piece of paper and a pencil drawing a lucky rabbit named Oswald. And through a bad business deal, Walt Disney actually lost his character rights to Universal. And in that deep sense of loss and agony over this bad decision that was made, he decided, you know what, I can't continue with that line of thought. I can't allow this moment to be the defining reality of my life. And so on a train, dealing with the implications and the reality of what he had lost, he took another pencil and another piece of paper and drew Mickey Mouse, which looked an awful lot like Oswald the Lucky Rabbit. But that's another story. You see, we have our character Mickey Mouse embedded into our culture because Walt wasn't going to take the loss of something and let that be the story. For so many of us, we have allowed the loss and the feelings that we've felt all during this year to become the driving narrative for where we're going, but that is not the story of Christmas. Brothers and sisters, when we celebrate Christmas time, it is about the birth of new life, both literally and metaphorically for the way that we live. For the thing that we knew, that we have been waiting for, the thing that has been better than all the death and destruction and pain and suffering, it's been born. The hope has arrived. The joy has crashed into this world, and we have the opportunity to live into that and experience it. As we look forward to 2021, we can allow what has happened to enslave us in the way we think about where we are right now, or we can choose the story of Christ, which is about new life, which we know leads to resurrection in several months as we continue down the church calendar, because that is the life when we come and celebrate, when we sing songs collectively, when we bow our heads, all of what we do is because of the truth and the beauty of the new life that we celebrate. If you have your Bible, I'd love for you to turn with me to Galatians chapter 4. We, over the course of Advent, have been reading texts out of the lectionary, which is a way to read through the Bible together through the year as the universal church. And I want to read to you one of the passages this morning that comes from the lectionary, which I believe is very fitting for where we are today, the last Sunday of 2020. And a beautiful reminder for where I believe God is calling each and every one of us as we faithfully follow him. So Galatians chapter 4, starting in verse 4 through number 7. It says, "But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, 'Abba, Father.'" And here's the part that I really want us to pay attention to. "Now, you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir." Amen? We could almost end the sermon right there because those words are so beautifully powerful. This reminder, this picture for each and every one of us that we have been bought out of slavery, that Christ came here not just so we could open presence on Christmas morning and then move on from our lives, but that we can live into the very reality of how Christ calls us into newness, to not be slaves to what was, to not look back and just allow that to anchor us down and keep us stuck and imprisoned. That, my friends, is the way of the world. The world wants us so desperately just to continue looking backwards, but what Christ is calling each and every one of us to is to look forward with hope, to know that He has arrived and there is so much more waiting for us. There is new life to be felt, seen, touched, heard all around us. And yet, if we continue to look backwards, if we continue to focus on the things that we lost, we so easily will miss what is right in front of us, the new life. This is different for each and every one of us in our own unique ways. For some of us, we are holding desperately on to the loss of a loved one or the loss of a job, or the loss of a friendship, or the loss of routine. And I don't want to downplay the significance of all of that. In fact, I think it's important for us to feel the weight of it. I think there's a reason Christ made the decision to come here as human, as flesh and blood, is to experience that with us, to show us in that pain and suffering we are not alone, but it also calls within us the truth that there is something larger here than just stewing in the pain and suffering. It's a call to move beyond it, to know that there is hope beyond the circumstance, beyond this moment. Will 2021 be any better? We don't know. But that's not the point. The point isn't about alleviating the pain that we experience. We still are human beings living in a human world, and there will be things that arise in 2021 that will be equally, if not more, difficult in different ways. The more and more we try to push back and make our lives this pristine bubble that pain and suffering don't come at us is about as useful as punching the wind. It gets us nowhere. And it takes our focus off of where Christ is actually calling you and I to live into. To look somewhere new than what's currently happening around us. And this is not something brand new. In fact, when Christ came, this is not a new story. God, all throughout Scripture, has been telling a story about newness, starting with the very creation of the world. His story begins with new. The story of God is all about beckoning and calling us as His people, as His creation, into a new frame of understanding, to continue growing, to not stay stagnant and not moving, but to move forward, and not just move forward begrudgingly, but seeing it with new eyes and life and excitement, to live adventurously expectant, knowing that Christ will show up and that He already has and He is with us. As we trace back through the Old Testament, I'm reminded over several times throughout the fall, I kept coming back to this one book in the Bible, and we're not going to read the whole thing because that would take a long time for us this morning, but I'd love to encourage you this week to actually go and reread through it. I want to point our attention for a moment to the book of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah tells the story of Nehemiah, who, as the book opens, he's the cupbearer to a king. And Nehemiah himself was an Israelite. He's a Jew. And so if we know anything about the Jews and their history in the Old Testament, we know that God had done something new with them. They were his chosen people who were in slavery. And God, in all of his goodness, frees them. So we think back to our passage today in Galatians. Does that ring any bells for us this morning? That we have been freed. So Nehemiah understood the importance and the significance of their narrative as the Israelites, as the Hebrew people, that God had continually paved the way toward more freedom for them. That he showed up with them over and over and over again, beckoning and calling them into a new life. And how many times did they falter? So he had all of this history in his head. And as Nehemiah opens, we discover with Nehemiah that the walls of Jerusalem, his city, that God had given them have crumbled. Brokenness. The book of Nehemiah opens with this profound sadness from Nehemiah. That this gift from God, the very city who he loved, which he understood the deep, deep significance of the city for him and his people, was in shambles. It was broken and battered. They were left defenseless. What could Nehemiah do? He understood he couldn't just sit there. God's story over and over and over again in history was one of calling them to new life. And so we see Nehemiah immediately, upon hearing the news, knows that he must do something. And he goes to the king. He's working as the cupbearer to the king, which allowed him to have close proximity with the king, obviously had a good relationship. And he goes and begs for the king to allow him to go and help rebuild his city, to rebuild the walls. And what we find unfolding in the book of Nehemiah is a beautiful story of Nehemiah and then Nehemiah and his friends and the people he recruits, other Israelites, understanding that the brokenness here is something that we must do together. We must fix this together. It's not something we do in isolation. It's not something we just leave to happenstance or hoping something happens. Brothers and sisters, this story of new life is one that is also about grace, but it's also about a calling for us to move. A call for us to act, to live differently in this world. Because if we have experienced, if we have truly experienced the life-giving reality of God, then within us, we should want to do everything we can to bring new life to the world around us. And so through the book of Nehemiah, we see that process of the rebuilding of the city walls, the rebuilding of the customs of the people. It's a beautiful story and gives us pause this morning in regard to our passage out of Galatians. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir, which means you have been bestowed a gift. A gift of grace and love and life. Not a gift of death and despair and pain. So it begs the question, brothers and sisters, what will you do with that gift? As we move into a new year and look forward, are we dreading what may come? Are we allowing the past to anchor our souls and keep us captive? Or are we embracing the freedom that this celebration of Christmas, of the birth of our Savior, of our King, brings for each and every one of us? It begs the question, how are you, how am I, bringing new life into this world every day? How am I taking the story of Christmas and living it out through the year? Because if we think that we can solve this problem, the brokenness of our world, on our own, my friends, we are mistaken. The only thing that can truly bring healing and restoration to this broken world is the gift of Christ. And so how do we do that? Let's get a little practical this morning. I told you last time I preached, I had started running. And I'm here to tell you it's still awful. And but that's okay. That's not the point of today's story. I started switching up the time that I've been running. I was running a little bit later in the day. I told you there was a guy who kept showing up, and so I tried to avoid him. And so I started going in the morning time. And what I found by going in the morning time, I see all kinds of different people who are doing different things and having their own different routines. And like so many of us, people have been they've been forced to find new ways of doing things. And I noticed on a run 2 weeks ago, this old woman in my neighborhood. And she would just walk out. She had a trash bag. She had one of those like hand clippy things that extend down so she could pick up trash. And every single morning, I watch her as I run around the neighborhood, walk around and pick piece after piece of trash up. That's what she's doing. I have no idea if she was doing this prior to the pandemic. My gut tells me that she probably started this at some point during all of this. I got to tell you, I've found more face masks on the ground and pieces of trash since everyone's been home and our neighborhood has been a little bit more littered. And so I took note of this. How every morning she faithfully gets up out of bed, go walks the neighborhood for people who just throw their trash on the ground and does this. I was captivated because I found this to be one simple way, perhaps, that she could be bringing new life. Perhaps she felt, we're in a mess together. How can I make it a little bit better? How can I bring hope, joy, and love to this world? Picking up trash is very simple. Sometimes we can overthink this. It's not always about making big, monumental choices. It's about the simple ways that we live our lives. Perhaps you've been deeply negative this year in the way you've talked with other people. I know for me, this is something that I struggle with. People ask me, how are you? How you doing? I think Judy asked me that this morning, and she's laughing in the back. How are you? How was Christmas? And my typical answer, because of 2020, has been, it's okay. It's okay? How is it just okay if we are celebrating the new life that is here available for each and every one of us? Brothers and sisters, this morning we should be overfilled with joy and life because we have been granted life. We are no longer slaves to what was. But we are new creations in Christ who calls us forward into more and more newness. And so everywhere we go, whether it's you walking around your neighborhood picking up trash or in your interactions with your neighbors or your Starbucks barista, whoever it may be, those are small areas and small opportunities in every facet of your life to take the gift of new life that you have been given and to bring it to the world. St. Francis of Assisi once said, "Always preach the gospel, and when possible, use words." So what he's trying to get at is the way we live, our actions matter. Just as much as our words, we can say all day long, "I am so thankful for the new life that Christ gave me." But if we are not living that out as we encounter people in the world, if we are not looking at the brokenness and trying to figure out solutions to how we can use what God has given us in our positions to bring wholeness and bring about restoration through Christ, we're missing the point. Brothers and sisters, this new year is a call to new life. Our world is broken. 2021, we're going to start January 1st, and the pandemic is still going to be rolling. But that doesn't change the fact that we celebrate the new life of Christ that we have been given through the celebration of Christmas. And the question becomes, how do we take that into 2021? To not allow the pain and the struggles anchor us down and enslave us to a life that we were not called to, but to live the life that Christ calls you and I into, a new life in Him. Thank you.